We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Anybody else here familiar with that childhood bedtime prayer? It says, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Have you ever heard that one? Yeah? Okay. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But if I should die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul you'll take." Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever prayed it as an adult? Have you ever taken it seriously when you prayed it? Come on now. Did you ever think, what if I don't wake up? This isn't a ceremonial prayer. This is a serious prayer. And it's an incredibly awesome prayer, especially for children, to realize there will be a day you won't wake up. That's a sobering thought. But I don't have any trouble with the idea of not waking up. And as Christians, as we grow in the Lord, as we have faith, we understand, look, this is the testing ground. I'm looking for the place. I'm wanting to be with the Lord. Now, nobody's anxious to leave here. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody's in a hurry. But we're all going to go some point. And when you love the Lord and when you're serving in the house and when you're related to his people and when you know, hey, I've got my battles, but I've got God. And you understand you're on a journey and you're not going to be here forever. Some people wanting to live longer and longer and longer. And again, I'm not in any hurry to leave. But some of our thinking, I mean, you know, they're writing books now. People are going to be living beyond 100 years. We're there. The doctors are writing books about it and so on. And on the other hand, what kind of shape are we going to be in and so on? And you know, the real thing is not how long we're here, but how effective we are. Do we figure out why we're here? Do we take on our responsibility and decide, okay, I have this sense that I should do this? And when I'm talking about doing things or our future or what our plans are, you know, I'm talking about everyday people. I'm talking about the single moms that are raising those little Christian kids. And they're working hard and they're doing one of the most important jobs in the world. And the person who goes out and puts in their 40 or 40 plus hours every week and they tithe and they give and they support and they do. That's what the kingdom is made of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Because there's been an extraordinary experience in their heart. There's a God that lives, and it lives in them. And sometimes when we live this life day after day, year after year, we can come to a place where it sort of gets routine. Well, so do other things. That brand new home you had after a few years is routine. That brand new car you had after a few years is needing help. You know, the brand new wife and so on. Now, what's funny about that? How about the brand new husband? We're not giving any away. Put your hands down. Now, no, but seriously, because something becomes more routine is only because we become more familiar with it. And as we become more familiar with it, it doesn't lose anything. I mean, those marriages... 46 years. Nita has been with me. And she'll get some kind of glorious medal. And she'll deserve it. You girls think you ought to be married to a preacher. But anyway. But life can feel ordinary, can seem ordinary. But the life for a Christian is extraordinary. It's never ordinary. It's just that extraordinary has become familiar. And so we got to make certain that as we walk in the extraordinary, we don't allow it to feel ordinary and cause us to have less than the momentum, less the potential that God has for us in our lifetime. Let me ask you, back to our little childhood bedtime prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep," and so on. "I pray, dear Lord, my soul you'll keep." Let me ask you this. when you're ready to go to bed, are you ready to go to heaven? I've closed my eyes on some nights I didn't know if I would wake up. I seriously, just battles and details and different things. I also went through open heart surgery 12 years ago. And all of those things. And they did the mitral valve. That's on the back. They put me on a machine, took my heart out, turned it around, worked on it a while, put it back in, hooked it all up. And I've been good. Thank God for doctors. But we need to live every day. We need to live day by day. Now, we can plan for the future, but we don't live thinking about our plan out there. We're living, executing today based on our plan. And so our focus is not out there. Our focus is today. And over decades of ministry, I've watched people, and oftentimes people are too focused on then and not focused on now. And there's such an important thing about now, because your then is made up of nows. You accumulate your nows and you get your then. Is that crystal clear? And so I want to talk about today. Today, the importance of today, every day. Today is the most important day of your life. You've heard people say it's the beginning of the rest of your life. Well, that's true. But you don't know if you've got another day. And I'm not trying to make alarmists. I'm just saying we need to live with a sensitivity to the power of now and how we use now to see that what God wants done in our life is accomplished. And so, you know, a lifetime is just an accumulation of days. Every day has got 24 hours. The really nice thing is that when God set up time and life and so on, and we have the day, we get a fresh one every 24 hours. If you didn't do so well with today, tomorrow you got another chance. Tomorrow you can do better. And so it's encouraging and inspiring to be able to have a fresh day every 24 hours. And the way to have a blessed life is to build good days. When I look back on the history of this church and on our lives and what's gone on, and man, we've been through wars. We've been through some stuff. I mean, every kind of thing you could imagine. People have tried to run us out of the state. People have prophesied we'd be found laying in a pool of blood. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. And besides that, hard to get along with people, unhappy people, disgruntled people. A friend of mine said he pastored for a year. He said, but people are too picky. I quit that. Well, it's a good thing he quit it. He wasn't called if he didn't make it through that. So the importance of now. And, you know, there was a popular song, and it was classic, and it was recorded for decades and decades. Over 30 artists, top artists in the world, recorded this song. And it's because there was always an interest in it. And decade after decade, somebody would record this song. And it would hit the charts and do well. And I've got the lyrics here in must be size 4 font. But listen to this. The name of it is One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. Anybody ever heard the song? Some of you won't raise your hands because you think you'll be looking too old. One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And the lyrics go like this. I'm only human. I'm just a man or woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. That's the key right there. And we'll come to that again later, but remember that line in the song. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving and crowding my mind, so for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. And people were drawn to those lyrics because that's where we live. We live day by day. And there is crowding and shoving and pushing and lawlessness and violence and hatred and all of these things. And it's intensifying. Lawlessness is becoming in vogue. And we need to understand as time moves forward, we move closer to the return of Jesus. And we want to live every day in the power of the Spirit. You know, over the years on television, they name all these shows Happy Days. Remember that? Then they got The Days of Your Life and all of these other things. But the point is, day by day, we build a life. And today I want to talk about the importance of today, doing today. And it doesn't mean that we have to do, again, I'm not talking about, okay, we've got to go out and look to do something extremely large and significant. No, we need to live our life wherever that is, whatever we're doing, and we need to live it with a sensitivity to God. The Bible says for us to not cease to pray. Pray without ceasing, the scripture says. Well, how do you do that? That means you walk with the knowledge that you have of the Lord, and your life is just filtered through the Word. As you consider things, as you make decisions, as you go about in your life, you have a prayerful spirit, you have the Word in your heart, and you make judgments and decisions based on what you know about God's Word. And so we need to live and love every day, and the bad ones as well. It takes the bad ones to get us to the good ones. You know, it's interesting, Moses, God's great leader, considered life, and he prayed this in Psalm 90, verses 11 and 12. He said, if only we knew the power of your anger. Now, he's already said, you know, we have these years and they just fly by. And then he says, if only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. And then he says, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, limited time requires wise living. And limited time requires seizing the opportunities. And you know, it's an interesting thing when we talk about the longevity of life, and a lot of people want to live forever and all of these things. Jesus lived 33 and a half years, and he was done. And it's an amazing thing when you read in the gospel where he's making it clear to his disciples, I'm getting ready to leave. None of them thought he was done. The world was still a mess, but Jesus knew his purpose. And the value of knowing your purpose is when you understand your purpose, you won't be trying to do things that weren't your purpose. You won't be taking on loads that were never yours to haul. You won't be dealing with responsibilities and problems and other areas that were really not part of your life. And so we need to understand that life gives us opportunity, and we need to seize those opportunities. You know, there's the adage that a pessimist sees the risks in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunities in every risk. Well, I believe that a wise person sees the Lord's will for their life and goes about life with the Lord's will in mind and takes the risks and seizes opportunities and moves along as the Lord leads us. And when I talk about the Lord leading you, I don't know that I've ever heard God audibly. I don't recall ever hearing an audible voice. Some people have, and I don't doubt them. On the other hand, I've strongly believed I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God's wisdom. I'm going to invite him to lead me. I'm going to invite him to show me what to do. But, you know, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to do something. I'm not going to sit still. You can't ride a bicycle. You can't guide a boat sitting still. And so there's got to be movement. And so when we wake up in the morning and we start our day off, we need to believe, okay, I pray, I ask God to lead me. I'm going to go about and do what I feel like I should do. And you'll find that God leads you in that. And so, you know, we all have memories. How many haven't missed opportunities? Ah, oh, I should have known that. I should have done that, you know. The old saying, if you snooze, you lose. We've all snoozed and we've all lost in some situations. But the good thing is the Bible talks about there's times to lose. And there, we may lose something one day, but we may gain it back at some other point. And if we spend too much time getting into emotions about regrets or sorrows or doing all of these things. Those things can weigh us down, hold us back, and keep us from where we need to go. But I want to encourage you today to live one day at a time the best you can. That's all this is about. We could leave now. But live one day the best that you can, every day. Does that make sense? One day, the best you can, every day. A lot of our problems and, you know, hospitals and the medical field is just overwhelmed with all the problems. I mean, the world is developing more and more and more problems. And that's because we keep complicating and complicating life. And the Bible teaches us, focus on the day. Do this day well. You hire a contractor and he's building your house, you want him every day to do that part of that house right. Just focus on what you're doing today. Don't be thinking about the roof when you're doing the floor. You know, get your focus on where you are. And so everyone has memories of missed opportunities. And, you know, you could have made a difference. You could have changed something. You could have lifted something. You know, we can live in that would have, could have, should have attitude. Boy, that's terrible. When you're living in the past, you're really in a mess. I'm going to say that again. When you tend to think about the past, you are really endangering your future. You need to deal with the past. You need to have forgiveness for the past. You need to have a better idea for what went wrong in the past. But to linger and to meditate on the past holds us back and does us no good. We'd be smart to listen to Moses' prayer and consider his idea of numbering our days. How many days do you have left? Many of you have more than I have left. I have more than some other people have. And the fact is, none of us knows how many days we have. We go on the assumptions of lifespans. But that doesn't always work out that way. And so, you know, we have memories of days we seized opportunities that made our world better. You think back, there are days you've made decisions. It made your family better. It made your business better. It made your neighborhood better. It made something better. And those are always good. You know, it's carpe diem, seize the day. And how we see the day is very important. You know, there's an old saying that yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today is cash. Think about that. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow, you don't even know if you have it, but today is good. Today is cash. Today, you have the opportunity and the power to impact your world. And you know, there's value in focusing on one day at a time. And it's not like you're being neglectful of life. You have a plan. You know the big picture. But if you're sitting down to put a puzzle together, you can't grab all the pieces and start doing. That won't get the puzzle together. You start linking colors and shapes and designs so that something matches something else. And as you do that, you usually start at a corner and you take off. And you get the whole puzzle done. And so there's value on looking at one day, focusing on that day. You remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, God's people, were going through the wilderness. They got out there and God was providing manna. And every day manna would fall. You remember that? And manna was the food that they were going to eat. They didn't have anything else. And they were depending on God every day for manna. It's an interesting thing that they were only allowed, when the manna fell, they were only allowed to pick up what they would consume on that day. There was an exception. The day before the Sabbath, they could pick up two because they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath under that law. But in the Old Testament, God fed them day by day. He sustained them day by day. He commanded them not to pick up extra manna. Every morning they had to wake up trusting there would be more manna there. We have to wake up every morning trusting God's got something else. God's leading me today. There's a purpose today. People I'll meet today. Now, I'm not talking about getting in some hyper, you know, you're going out passing out cards and trying to make something. I'm just talking about in your daily routine, you are expecting that on this day, I'm just going to be open. I'm going to do what I feel the Lord leads me to do. And as you do that, it certainly opens your life up to everything he wants to do. But the Lord would give them manna every day, and they could only pick up enough for that one day. And, you know, God wanted them to understand that they were dependent on him. He wanted them to wake up every day realizing, my food today depends on the Lord supplying my food. And they got that message, and he didn't want them relying on yesterday's leftovers. We have to be careful that we're not living off of leftovers from the past. Remember back in the early days when I met Nita and started going to her church, and back then they gave testimonies. And there was this little old man, a coal miner from West Virginia. He was probably all of 5 feet tall and dressed in his suit and tie, and boy, he was on fire. But whenever they would open the floor for people to share what God has done, it was an amazing thing. He would jump up and give basically the same testimony that was probably 20 or 30 years old. And as fiery and as good as it was like, don't you have anything newer? You're still talking about 20, 30. We need to be having a living, growing testimony. And there's nothing wrong with our old stories, and some of them are fabulous, and we can keep telling them, but we should have some new ones matched in as well. And so in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, God gave these people this manna and taught them, you need to look to me every day. You need to understand I'm there every day for you. You will have fresh manna. You don't have to eat that leftover manna. And don't be trying to save some for tomorrow, because that would indicate that you don't think I'll be here tomorrow, that you're afraid there won't be manna tomorrow. So I want us to just realize, we need to realize that God has something fresh every day. That doesn't mean you got to get in the Bible and read until you get some profound revelation that knocks you out of your chair. I'm just saying, when we read the Word, when we pray every day, whether we have feelings, and I quit going by feelings, but whether we have any feelings or not, we just need to know God is fresh every day. If we've been serving Him 10, 20, 30, 40 years, doesn't matter. He's still fresh every day. And we haven't come close to exhausting the wisdom that he has. And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes along, and, you know, his disciples look at Jesus's life and they look at the power that's going on in his life. And so then they finally catch on. They're like, he's doing these miracles. He does stuff nobody can do. They start watching him and they realize, prayer. That when he's not doing miracles, he's praying. Sometimes he prays all night. And so they ask him, teach us to pray. And that was a great revelation for them. They realized the key to Jesus is prayer. And we know Jesus said that he does what he sees the Father, what the Father tells him to do. And so Jesus is teaching them. They say, teach us to pray. And so he starts to teach them to pray. And in that prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. It's what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But it's an interesting thing that Jesus is doing the same thing that was happening in the Old Testament. God was feeding them a day at a time. And then Jesus, when he teaches them to pray, says, pray like this. And he says, give us this day. Everybody say this day. Every day you need to deal with this day. And your prayer needs to be, my prayer needs to be, Father, today, give me today my daily bread. And when I say that, I'm not talking about 3 meals a day only. I'm talking about spiritual bread of life. Give me the understanding. Give me the insight. Give me what I need to be able to embrace the people I'll be in contact with, to embrace the business, the family, everything else that goes on. Give me what I need today, emotionally, physically, mentally, intellectually, all of those things. And when we understand the power that the Bible talks about today, because so many times, again, people are thinking about, you know, they've got their dream in mind. Well, that's okay. you know, you can see the picture of your dream, but when you see that, think, today's the day I'm working on it. Because oftentimes people have a dream and they're looking for it to come to pass, but they're piddling away days. And they're allowing days to go by. And so before you know it, sometimes people have passed the age for whatever they were aspiring to do, or that in some way they disqualified themselves because they were waiting instead of working. And so he says, give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly bread, but daily bread, not our end of the month, will all the bills get paid bread, but our daily bread. Sometimes people are worrying so much about the end of the month, the end of the year, the tax season, or whatever, and it can't get focused on, if I do the right thing every day, well, then those things will be taken care of. But how many times do we go ahead and live life, and then before we know it, a deadline has come up, and we're not near prepared? Today, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, Jesus went on to say in that same chapter, Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's an interesting statement. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Think about that. And then look at the last sentence. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stop right there. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So many people have so many problems that get so big and so unmanageable because they have allowed the evil of days to pile up. And the evil of individual days has become an evil month and whatever. And we need to understand, we don't need to be focusing and worrying about tomorrow. It's got its own troubles, and we'll deal with those tomorrow. When we're out of place in our thinking and thinking about yesterday or thinking about tomorrow excessively is being out of place. How can you live today while you're thinking about tomorrow? How can you live today while you're worrying about what went on yesterday? And so these little pieces of gold in the scripture here about how we're to think about life, how we're to manage our lives. You see, when we keep it in small pieces, it's more manageable. When we do the small pieces well, back to the puzzle. If you're putting a puzzle together, you got to deal with the small pieces. If you refuse to do that, at the end of your time, you're going to have a pile of pieces, not a picture. Who wants to end life with a pile of pieces? And so each day, and he says here, has its own troubles. Don't allow those troubles to accumulate. Don't allow them to pile up. And especially, that's one reason that with prayer and our relationship with the Lord, every day, you know, it's just you get out of bed, and before you go to bed and you say that prayer, you make certain if you failed, if something was not where you thought it should have been, that you get that right with the Lord. That you go to sleep clean so that you can know that if you die, your soul he will take. And so we should live every day clean. People who fight addictions and other things. I can remember just an old story. My dad's barber back in the day had been an alcoholic for 30, 40 years. And then the guy decided he was getting clean and he broke that habit. But it was an interesting thing the way he lived it. He didn't take a drink today. And Dad could ask him 10 years after he had been dry for 10 years. That guy would just say, I'm not taking a drink today. That's the way he fought his addiction. He's just not going to do it today. And when we live our lives more simply and we realize I don't have to be over in these other areas, I got to manage today. And once we start that rhythm of managing the days, your spirit is released. You have more space to think. You can do things more clearly. And it causes you to have an accurate lifestyle that leads to the desired result. And then Jesus goes on, and actually in the scripture just before, He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has its own trouble. The verse before that is the key. And in the previous verse, he teaches us the first thing to seek. He says, but seek first. Everybody say first. First. Now, we can say it, we can read it, we can shout it, we can pray it, but until we do it, it won't work. Seek first. Because so many times people are living their lives, and over the decades I've watched this, people are going to serve the Lord. They're going to get on a team. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that after they get to a certain place. And the answer to that is, no, you're not. Because you're not going to get to that place. Because you've got the wrong thing first. He says, here, seek first the kingdom. What is that? That's the domain, the reign, the rule. The kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. And so Jesus makes in this one statement very clear how we're to proceed. But it's just not as easy for people to apply it as it is to hear it. And we need to understand first things are first. You know, getting the first thing right opens the door to all other things. Getting the first thing right opens the door to all other things. In just a second, we're going to show you a video clip. This is fresh, just last week. Derek Carr became the highest paid player in the National Football League in history, in the NFL history. And he is Oakland's franchise quarterback. And he just signed a contract and will receive $125 million over the next 5 years. $25 million a year if you lay it out that way. But he's receiving that. And so we're going to show you this interview. And the interviewer starts off, he says, you know, you're a modest guy, but is there one thing that you're going to splurge on? Watch what Derek says.
Priorities are in life and everything are well known, but it is a huge contract. And you're not really an extravagant guy, but is there one thing that you're going to sort of splurge on that you can let us know?
Chick-fil-A, probably Chick-fil-A. I've been eating clean, Lad. We got Lad here. He's been having me eat clean. I'll probably get some Chick-fil-A, but no. First thing I'll do is I'll pay my tithe like I have since I was in college, getting $700 on a scholarship check. That won't change. I'll do that. I'll probably give my wife something nice, even though she begs me not to. She still gets coupons. Ever since I've known her, she finds coupons. She gets online trying to find discounts and all those things. And none of that's going to change. The exciting thing for me, money-wise, honestly, is that this money's going to help a lot of people. I'm very thankful to have it, that it's in our hands, because it's going to help people not only in this country, but in a lot of countries around the world. And that's what's exciting to me.
Isn't that awesome? And I want to quickly run back. He says, we're going to eat Chick-fil-A, and he's really serious because they're eating clean. But he says, the first thing I'll do is I'll pay my tithe like I have since I was in college, getting $700 on a scholarship check. You know, that won't change. I'll do that. That's incredible. Highest paid player in NFL history. And what he's doing is he's living this day the way he's lived his other days from college. He's got the same principles, the same values. And he wants to help God and he wants to help people. He'll probably live in the same house. I mean, he talks about the money is going to help people not only in this country, but in other countries in the world. And it's interesting. He said, honestly, about the money-wise, he said, honestly, is that this money is going to help a lot of people. I'm very thankful to have it, that it's in our hands. Yes. It's in our hands. Derek said, we got $125 million. I'm thankful it's in our hands. Well, the implication there is a lot of things could be done with that money, but in our hands. I want to ask you today, what's in your hands? What's in my hands? And, we need to have that attitude. You know, he may be getting $125 million. We may be getting 125 a week or a day or whatever, or an hour. But whatever we have, if we have that same attitude, it's going to help people. And I'm glad it's in my hands because we know what to do with it. And he ends his statement with, that's what's exciting to me. So he'll pay his $12.5 million tithe. And don't be trying to move to his church. But, you know, Derek wasn't thinking about future vacations, buying yachts, owning businesses. He's thinking about the needs of people and what God is doing. And when Derek stands before the Lord, if he continues with the way that he's living now, handling day by day based on those solid principles. And, you know, it's an interesting thing right now in the NBA basketball. Was it Stephen Curry and Devin, whatever his name is? I can't think of these guys, but they're top-notch Christian personalities who are at the very top in the championship and so on, very open about their faith. And so when we live a day at a time, we live it by principles, and we live it honestly, it affects our surroundings, it affects the world. And so he wasn't thinking about the future as much as he was today and what he could do. Now, when you pay your tithe to the Lord, it produces at least seven things in your life. First, it puts God in first place. Nothing you will ever do will put God in first place more than when you tithe. When you take 10% of your gross income from every revenue stream that you have, and you give that to God off the top. And by the way, the tithe is the first tenth, not the last tenth. We don't have time to go into that. It's the first tenth. And that way you never end up in an argument with, you know, your mortgage or your electric bill and your tithe. First tenth is off, from there you pay your bill. Number two, so it puts God in first place. Number two, it protects you from greed. Number three, it promises you God's blessing. Number four, it propels your faith. How can people pray in faith and expect God to hear and answer if they know they're disobedient and they're not honoring God? So it propels your faith. And number five, it positions you for promotion. Number six, it prospers the mission of Christ's church. It's a good thing. I don't care if you're giving $1. It's a good thing to know this is changing the church. This is moving the church. This is going to reach people. Our little children back in the children's classes, giving their little offerings and so on, learning that you give to God and you impact the kingdom. And then number seven, it puts the right example before your family and friends. Let me ask you this. What excites you today? Nice to have hobbies, pets, different things, desires and so on. But there's nothing more exciting than the idea that you're doing something that will last forever. That you're doing something with God. That when you leave this earth, and you enter into his presence, there'll be rejoicing, there'll be shouting, there'll be pleasure because you've worked together. And so, you know, do you have a vision like Derek Carr to help God, to help people? What's in your hands that could help the community, that could help the church, that could help your neighbors, that could help the sick or whatever? And God leads us in different ways. But we need to bring him our tithe, give him our offering. We need to look at ways that we can give. And, you know, when we were in a position where we could barely just tithe in the early days and give a small offering, you know, the thing that I learned is you've got hands, you've got a heart. You can do things. Go do things for people. Start giving of yourself. Give your energy. Give your talents. And give and do. And you will find out that the richest thing in your life is your giving. The thing that causes you to feel the most wholesome and whole and solid and godly and part of what God is doing is that you have overcome any kind of greed. You have come into a place of generosity. And so you've started to learn, as the Bible says, you scatter, but you keep getting more. Because God loves that cycle. You give and I'll give to you. And so it's good to plan, but don't let planning your future rob you have today's power. Excessive planning, here's the deal. Excessive planning can become a plausible alibi for not doing anything. Excessive planning, people plan all the time. Another thing, people who argue Scripture, people who debate when the rapture is. Who cares? What does it matter? It's going to happen when it happens. It's not about when it's happened. It's about, are you ready? Now I lay me down to sleep. Come on, let's just be ready. Let's don't worry about when. People sit and argue and debate these things. People who have these huge Bible discussions. My question would be, when was the last time you brought someone to the Lord? Are you going to talk about the deep things of Revelation that make you feel accomplished? Or are you going to get out and go and do what Jesus asked us to do and talk to people, invite people, and help them to meet their Maker? You know, Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And so we think, we pray, and we plan, but we're open to the Lord, and His Spirit actually guides our steps. We want to live so that tomorrow we'll be proud of what we did today. You just want to make every tomorrow a day that you're proud of what you did the day before. You know, then we can wake up saying, good morning, Lord, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning. Which way are you going to look at life? You know, living each day, and I got to close, I'm out of time. Not out of notes, but I'm out of time. What do you think we should do? All right. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about he's lived in good conscience till this day. And then King Hezekiah's God-honoring life, and I'll just tell the story quickly, but in 2 Kings 21 through 6, they come to him, and this is what the Lord says, set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. You will not recover from this illness. Now, this is God speaking through his prophet to this king. So set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover from this illness. And then Hezekiah turns his face towards the wall and starts to pray to the Lord. And he says, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah the prophet had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you, and 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. And then in verse 6, he says, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. This king's godly life and the way he'd done things to please the Lord, the way day by day he went through life, doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And when this death sentence came on him, he turned and prayed. That is a powerful thing when God says you're going to die and you're not going to get through this. And then you say, but Lord, don't you remember? I've done your will. I've done this. I've done that. And it touched God. God changed it, sent the prophet back, added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. So here's the end. Every day we have the opportunity to make all the right choices again. If you're a believer today, every day you wake up, you want to make all the right choices to start your day. And if you're here today and you're checking out church, and you need to make the right choices to allow God to guide you so that you can walk in the joy of having a relationship and knowing that God is with you. But, you know, every day we wake up, we need to, today, I will believe again. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, everybody has doubts. And you need to just say, today I will believe again. Today I'll seek God. I'm going to pray today again. And today I'll trust God's word again. And today I'll hang with God's people again. And today I'll tell others about Jesus again. And today I'll go to God's house again. And today I'll bring others to the church to meet Jesus. And today, I'll bring God his 10% of my income again. And today, I will serve in the church again. Might not feel like it. I'm going to do it again. You assert, you determine, this is what I do. And I do it no matter what. And number 10, I will ask God's forgiveness for any wrong again. And so every day we have that golden opportunity to make it a good day. And so what do you want the end picture of your life to say, what is your legacy goal? You need to live thinking about the end. You need to live thinking about eternity. And today we can seize these opportunities to step up and make good choices, to step away from the bad ones, and to build a life that honors God, to build a Hezekiah life. And when you really feel that you have given yourself to the Lord and that you are day by day really giving it your best to serve God, to love God, to do what's right. You stumble, you get up, you ask forgiveness, and you go on. You don't live in regret. You don't live in worry. You keep pursuing God, focusing on God, doing the right things the best that you can and getting better at it every day. And when you do these things, you establish good days and you establish peace in your heart. You establish an assurance in your heart and you start feeling like, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was ready to leave, he said, I'd rather go on, but I need to stay here to teach. You'll start to develop that heart and that attitude. I want to be with God. I want to see God. And your life grows. In Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I want to encourage you today. Live and love today. And use every day to make a life that's filled with blessings. You know the keys. Today is a day of every day is a day of opportunity. And every day we get up, business happens, relationships happen, people get married, people die, people are born, life goes on, things are going on. But every day God is present, wherever you are, whatever your situation. And so today, are you serving the Lord? Have you come to the Lord? Have you given your heart back to the one who created you? God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. He sent Jesus. He sent a Savior who had sinless blood and shed it so that we could all be forgiven. And so today, if you haven't invited God, take my life. I want to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. What a wonderful thing it is to know that your sins are forgiven. Your past is gone. It's out of his mind. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.